Chapter 2. Christ Holds Control by Ellen G. White. The Gergesenes desired Christ to depart. They of Capernaum received him, and among them he wrought wonderful miracles. Christ has all power in heaven and in earth. He is the great physician upon whom we are to call when suffering from physical or spiritual disease. Over the winds and the waves, and over men possessed with demons, he showed that he possessed absolute control. To him have been given the keys of death and of hell. Principalities and powers were made subject to him, even while in his humiliation. We need more faith. Why do we not exercise greater faith in the divine physician? As he worked for the man with the palsy, so he will work today for those who come to him for healing. We have great need of more faith. I am alarmed as I see the lack of faith among our people. We need to come right into the presence of Christ, believing that he will heal our physical and spiritual infirmities. We are too faithless. Oh, how I wish that I could lead our people to have faith in God. They need not feel that in order to exercise faith, they must be wrought up into a high state of excitement. All they have to do is to believe God's word, just as they believe one another's word. He hath said it, and he will perform his word. Calmly rely on his promise, because he means all that he says. Say, he has spoken to me in his word, and he will fulfill every promise that he has made. Do not become restless. Be trustful. God's word is true. Act as if your heavenly Father could be trusted. Funds needed. Men are appointed to proclaim the truth in new places. These men must have funds for their support, and they must have a fund to draw upon for the help of the poor and needy whom they meet in their work. The benevolence that they show toward the poor gives influences to their efforts to proclaim the truth. Their willingness to help those in need gains for them the gratitude of those they help and the approval of heaven. These faithful workers should have the sympathies of the church. The Lord will hear prayer in their behalf, and the church should not fail to show a practical interest in their work. No one lives to himself. In God's work, each one is assigned a post of duty. The union of all strengthens the work of each. As the faith and love and unity of the church grow stronger, their circle of influence enlarges, and ever they are to reach to the farthest limit of this influence, constantly extending the triumphs of the cross. Arise, shine. God calls upon us to burst the bands of our precise indoor service. The message of the gospel is to be born in the cities and outside of the cities. We are to call upon all to rally around the banner of the cross. When this work is done as it should be, when we labor with divine zeal to add converts to the truth, the world will see that a power attends the message of truth. The unity of the believers bears testimony to the power of the truth that can bring into perfect harmony men of different dispositions, making their interests one. The prayers and offerings of the believers are combined with earnest, self-sacrificing efforts, and they are indeed a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. Men are converted anew. The hand that once grasped for recompense in higher wages has become the helping hand of God. The believers are united by one interest, the desire to make centers of truth where God shall be exalted. Christ joins them together in holy bonds of union and love, bonds which have irresistible power. It was for this unity that Jesus prayed just before his trial, standing but a step from the cross. That they all may be one, he said, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Awake, awake! God calls upon those who are half awake to arouse and engage in earnest labor, praying to Him for strength for service. Workers are needed. It is not necessary to follow rules of exact precision. Receive the Holy Spirit, and your efforts will be successful. Christ's presence is that which gives power. Let all dissension and strife cease. Let love and unity prevail. Let all move under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If God's people will give themselves wholly to Him, He will restore to them the power they have lost by division. May God help us all to realize that disunion is weakness and that union is strength. Never be discouraged. Whatever may arise, never be discouraged. The Lord loves us, and He will perform His word. Try to encourage in the patients a trust in God. Bid them be of good courage. Talk hope even to the last. If they are to die, let them die praising the Lord. He ever lives, and though some of His faithful followers may fall in death, their works will follow them, and theirs will be a joyous awakening in the resurrection morning. Let us not be discouraged. Let us not talk doubt, but faith, for faith brings infinite power. If we lay hold upon this power and do not trust in our own human strength, we shall see the salvation of God. There are many who are hungering and thirsting for a better knowledge of spiritual truths, and it is the privilege of those in this institution to impart to them that which will satisfy their longing. Humility and faith. In the work for this time, it is not money or talent or learning or eloquence that are needed, so much as faith graced with humility. No opposition can prevail against truth presented in faith and humility. By workers who willingly bear toil and sacrifice and reproach for the Master's sake. We must be co-workers with Christ if we would see our efforts crowned with success. We must weep as He wept for those who will not weep for themselves, and plead as He pleaded for those who will not plead for themselves.